finish Bezes Hashem Simi Yud Gimel. Probably finish Simi Yud Dalet too, if you take a look at it. Not very long. Okay, we're up to Yud Gimel. We've really gone through over the last 3 weeks the basic, not only basic, but all the halachas that have to do with Meinekas Chaveirei, Meuberes Chaveirei. This is to marry a woman who is pregnant with someone else's child, or even within 24 months of nursing the child. Simi Yud Gimel seems a little out of place. It's about nursing, but it's a general rule about when a woman is obligated to nurse. Let's say a woman says, I want to give a bottle, I want to give a meinekes. Is she obligated to nurse a child? So in Sif Yud Gimel, now I have to preface this by saying that the Gemara in Ksubis, on Daf Nun Tes and Samach, when it talks about the obligations of a husband to a wife and a wife to a husband, one of the obligations of a wife is to nurse the child. It's one of the sort of contractual obligations, business obligations of a ksuba. I think when the Rambam counts the obligations, he writes, Asara Dvarim, there are 10 things a man is chayef to his wife, and Shlosha Dvarim, that a wife is chayef to the husband. So like a 50-50 agreement, you know, at any rate, one of the obligations is lahanik, is to be manik. What about an amana? Is an amana obligated contractually? Is she obligated to nurse the child? If she says, I don't want to nurse the children inherited from the father, let's use the money and hire a menekes.
Why should she be different?
Why should she be different? Because the husband's not around to give her obligations to her. So why should she give obligations to him? But the truth is that an almana does get from the Yerusha. The halacha is, while a wife does not inherit a husband, only the children inherit, a wife lives off the estate. A wife has a right to live off the estate in the same level of support that she had when she was alive. So she does get sort of mezainis from the estate until she remarries. Chazal say even until she's preparing to remarry, then she has a right to collect a ksuba. An almana has a choice. She can either live off the estate or collect 200 zuz and say goodbye to the estate. Now, it's not wise for her to collect the ksuba because she gets a one-time payment. It's not even a whole lot of money. And what she could do is live off the estate for 20 years and then collect the ksuba. So that she has the option, which is usually the choice. And I'm gonna, that's the way it is today. It's understood that a widow lives on off the estate of her husband. So the Shulchan Aruch says, and the language is not that clear, but I'll explain it the way the Farshim do. Amana sha'isa minika bina, yichayla laimer eini minika, ela b'schar. A woman who's an amana could say, I don't want a nurse, only b'schar. Yichayla hi l'tvaya ksuva sala alter. And she could collect the ksuva right away. Now the language is a little misleading. It sounds like, first of all, I don't want to nurse unless you pay me. And secondly, she has a right to collect a ksuba. Really, that's not the kavana. The kavana is that if she's collecting a ksuba, then she's not mechuyev to nurse for free. If she's living off the estate, then she has to nurse, because then her husband's obligations to her survive her husband's death, they continue, and maybe her obligations back continue also. But if she collects a ksuba, then she's not mechuyev lahanik ela b'schar, and that's a chiddush. That she's mechuyev es b'schar is also a chiddush. It's pasha, she's not mechuyev es at all. So this is the halacha. Why is it here? It's here because afa pi sheinu chayli nasa, afa pi. The Chiddush is this. even though she says, I don't have to nurse, I'm a mechuyev to nurse, I collected ksuba, I'm stopping, she still has an isser of chav talit chaydish. In other words, we don't want, a woman's going to know she wants to be married. So she'll say, you know what, if I collect my ksuba and I stop nursing, I don't have a right to stop nursing. We want the child her to nurse the child. So we take away her incentive, so to speak, to stop nursing by saying, you have to wait 24 months no matter what. That's what it says here. And it's really a hakdama for Sifya Dalid, where this is going to have bigger ramifications, as we'll see in a minute or two. Now this Ramah is out of place. Both the Chatz V'Hoichach and the Shmuel, if you look at the bottom of the page in the Beis Shmuel, two lines on the bottom, Ein Chilik, Hagazu, Ein Kamakayma. This Ramah, the print is put in the wrong place. This really refers to a woman who is gave birth after her husband's death. She was pregnant when her husband died, Rahman al Atlan, and she doesn't want a nurse because she wants to remarry. She's going to nurse, she's not going to be able to remarry. So the Ramah says, Ein Chilik, it doesn't matter if she started nursing or not. Either way, she has an issur chav talit chaydish. Otherwise, a woman is going to not nurse. She's going to say, why am I going to nurse? I can't get married for 24 months. So again, to protect the child, we say that even if she stops nursing, she still has an issur chav talit chaydish. So that's if you Gimel, the Mechaber Ramah, both telling us a rule of loy plug, a rule where there's no difference. She's also 24 months, even though she's not nursing. Even though she's not obligated to nurse, like she collected a ksuba, or she's she gives birth and she's from the first minute she doesn't want to nurse. It's not a way out. It's all wanted the child to have his mother nursing him. That's if you give him. Well, they're going to have to find other options. They'll either find a wet nurse or they'll find whatever the medieval form of formula was. It says, well, presumably you have to pay for the estate.
I think the moral too is that at the beginning, you hire someone right away. The baby's not connected to the mother yet.
Yeah, well, we didn't want that she should. We don't want her to choose that. And that's why we don't want her to choose that because of the Chav Talit Chaydish. The Gemara Ksuba says if they're wealthy, that she has shtei shvachas, that she's not mechuyev lahanik. There are such conditions, but I don't that applies to an almana. Okay, right, that's actually be part of Sif. Sif Yudalid indirectly is part of Sif Yudalid. The question is if the Gemara says if they're wealthy and she has shtei shvachas, I'm a shamshasaisa. That there's a heter for being wealthy. So the question is whether it applies here, and that we'll see in Yud Dalet, and not in the Mechaber, but in the Beis Shmuel Lamed Zayin. We'll see.
If the baby is a son or a daughter, it's different as far as Yerushalayim. No, if the baby is a son, he's not Jewish.
Yeah.
So therefore, there's.
The mother should say. The mother should tell the child.
She's not the Irish.
Yeah.
Okay, no,
yeah, necessarily.
There are other children.
There also could be cases where the father had no money, and even though it's a son. So, okay, we're going to see. That's all. We're going to talk about it. And Ramesh talks about it in the Tshuva. Everything based on Beis Shmuel Lamed Zayin, which is going to be the big last Nakuda of the Simon. Because we dealt with exceptions. That's what we're dealing with the last 2 weeks. The first week we dealt with exceptions like not waiting 24 months. And last week with the woman who can't nurse, Tzimuk Dadeha, here in Sif Yudala we get to another category of exceptions. Now first, the Mechaber brings the Shita of the Rash Hazaken, which I mentioned to you earlier. There's a Taisis and Ksuvah Stav Samach that brings a Machlaikis. The Shita of Rabbeinu Shimshon is that the whole din of Nekas Chaveirai and Muberes Chaveirai only applies to Almana. Why? When there's an Almana, there's no father that's responsible for the child. since there's no father's responsible, it's all up to her. We want her to nurse. The Rashi Zaken Shita is that by a grusha, there's still a father. The father is still obligated to support his children. A father is obligated to feed his children, at least until 6 years old, at Konasusha. And therefore, there's a father. So Rashi Hazaken has a shita that it does not apply to grusha. And the other Rishayim, Rabbeinu Tam and Tosis, disagree. Now, obviously, that would knock out half the cases, because in the cases of a grusha, she'd be allowed to remarry. So let's see how the Mechaber brings the two shittas. I remind you, we have a rule. The Shulchan Aruch brings two shittas. The first is Stama, and the second is Yeshayim, and we pass in like the first shita. And if they're both Yeshayim, we pass like the second shita. So this is going to be such a case. Sif Yadalim. Zesha Amru Begrusha, this which we were saying, and he said it's if you're out, Ben Grusha, Ben Amana, Yesh Mi Shaimer, the Tafka Sheni Kusu, Kadim Shenes Garsha, Ad Shehikira. It's only when the child needs the mother, because when the child recognizes the mother, I think Chazal says 3 months, he doesn't want to nurse him someone else. Aval Kadim Asman Azeh, Lai, Dibai, Lai Tanik La Klau. Because a grusha is not obligated to nurse. She's not getting mezuzahs from her husband. So we said before, an almana gets mezuzahs from her husband, she has to nurse. We said before, an almana who collects a ksuva is not obligated to nurse. A grusha immediately is the same as an almana who collected a ksuva. She's not being supported. So, she can say, I don't want to do it, even if you pay me. This is the Rashi Zaken who says that that the rule doesn't apply to a grusha unless the baby nursed 3 months already and it's considered crucial for the baby. So he brings this same Yesh Mishaimer, and then he says, Yesh Mishaimer, Isha Shemez Baila V'nichem Uberes V'yolda V'lohi Nika Espina Tzricha Lahamtin Chavdalat Chaydesh U'mash Medvarav Hu Adin L'grusha. Interesting Lashon. There are those who say that since the takana was made by Hinicha Muberes, so Hu Adin L'grusha, it applies to a grusha as well. Basically, the second shita, which is Rabbeinu Tam, Baragoyla says Rabbeinu Tam in the same Taisus, they hold there's no difference. Yeah, grusha, nishta grusha, it always applies. Now, this Rashi Hazaken is used as a tziruf. It's never used by itself. We don't say a grusha is excluded. When Machmir, this is where Ramosha wrote in the Gris Moshe that even though it's a drabanan, a sub drabanan lekula, since this was done because of Cheshash Sakana Levlad, so by Cheshash Sakana, we're Machmir even on Sveikas. And therefore, we don't pass like the Rashi Hazaken, but all the tshuvas that we've learned over the last couple of weeks that deal with Svaris Lahakul, and it's hard to be Makel, they say, oh, but if you have the Rashi Hazaken, you can be Makel. Rabbi said about the 24 months, the Chachma Shleiter said 18 months, this man is there. And then the Yeshua said 15 months. The Ramesh has a tshuva about 12 months. He says, look, you know, you keep on pushing it back, 24, 18, 50, 12. He said, 12, well, if she's a Grusha, and you have a tziruf of the Rashi Hazaken, so in a Medina where it's the derech to stop nursing after 12 months, so you can even be making on 12 months. So this Rashi Hazaken is used as a tshuva. We also had in the case of Obruz Mizana. Now, Znus, when the father is known, is similar to Grusha. The whole difference of the Rashi Hazaken is he owes only an almana where there's no father to support. A grusha, where there is a father to support, the gzeira doesn't apply. Znus, where the father is known, where he admits to being a father, so that there is a father to support. Ramesh has a tshuva where they went to court for child support, and the court awarded the child support from the father. So again, Ramesh writes that according to the Rashi Hazaken, it would be a svara to be mekel. And he's mitzarif, the sheetis that hold the gzeira wasn't made by Znus, it was only made by Grusha and Almana to be medical. So this Rashi Hazaken is an important shita as it's tziruf with the Shavlis Dekana. Once they get to us today, is the last great kula of Simi Yogimel. What happens if the woman is wealthy? Now, it's not a popular idea. Oh, she's rich. Okay, so she doesn't have to wait 24 months. The svara of her being wealthy is that the hochashad is that if she doesn't nurse, the baby is going to come lidei sakara. You don't have food for the baby. So there's
what's
a svara.
What do you call wealthy? Just enough money to support them? What's wealthy?
Wealthy is always what the other guy has. The guy who has the money is not the wealthy one. Rav Pav told me once, he spoke at a good convention, that really people should give a chaimish. Now, people who struggle to make ends meet is one thing. But people who are wealthy should really take her in to give a chaimish. So remember, he told me afterwards, this is the last time he's speaking about it. He said, why? He said, the only people that asked him were the malamdim who barely make ends meet. He said, only ones that came over to him. And you know, he felt like he did damage to them a little bit. But anyway, why do you call wealthy is a legitimate question. I guess there are people who are unquestionably have enough money for 24 months, I guess. All right. It's debatable. So let's first see if there's an exclusion for someone who's wealthy or not. Now again, why is it here? Because remember, the whole score of the Rasha Zaken is that the takana was only made because the child will be left without money. If there's a father who recognizes he's a father and he supports, then it doesn't apply. So that's where the Tshuva Emuna Shmuel comes in. Emuna Shmuel is an early tshuva. It's quoted in the Beis Shmuel here. Who comes in with the kula of wealth being a kula. Let's take a look in Beis Shmuel Amud Zayin, at least the first part of it. And that opens up the whole tremendous debate among the Achrayim whether to be makel by an Ashira. So let's see Beis Shmuel Amud Zayin. So the next pad, the last page of your copies, top line of the Beis Shmuel, Lamed Zayin, the ha iboy leitonik. This is going on the Rash HaZaken, who hold that she's not mechuyev to nurse by Grusha. Hine, Balmona nami mishkachas lo, deinichi avas lahanik. We find in the Gemara, as was mentioned before, also an excuse, where even an almana doesn't have to be manik. Hainuk shi ashira, hecha dein lo mezaynis. Ein lo mezaynis, we had the Sifu Gimel, when she collected a ksuba. Oh, she's wealthy. How wealthy? It says that she has two shvachas full time. Lefizeh yesh laima kam amana muteres li nasei do iboi leisanik. So it is far to say that since she's wealthy, wealthy enough that she doesn't have to be a meinik, so then the gzera shouldn't apply. V'chei pasuk b'tshuva semuna Shmuel v'yisayt binyin shalai, and the basic foundation of his idea is should shesay mechal rasha zaken the sphere like grusha materially nasim should dena chiyavis lahanik kein hu imi amona ashira, and there too if she's an ashira. So the Amuna Shmuel is makel for a woman who's wealthy enough to support. Once you say wealthy, you can argue. She'll go and buy 2 years worth of formula and put it in the room. Now the same thing. It wasn't how wealthy she is. She's got 2 years worth of formula in the room, and they can't stay. They don't spoil. And what are you afraid of? So the Amuna Shmuel says this is a gigantic opening to be makel. And what does the Beis Shmuel say about this Amuna Shmuel? He says, "Avol ein nira li lahakel da lekasu apayskim hetezel lebegrusha malad almana." Lamaisa, we will make the Rasha Zaken writes it by grusha. In Sifyud Gimel by Almana, it wasn't mentioned. Akocha chatam shun grusha la'ila miptur lahanik. A grusha is a category of people that's part. Can the ena bechla meinika? So she's not called a meinekas. Ava almana di lepamim chayeves. An almana who, if she's living off the estate, is mechayeves. Azi bechla meinekas chaver. So then there's a loy plug. Kenu kavana samar nachay begas ashri. The kasav, the kasvu. Grusha loy damyel almana she mechaves lahanik espana. So what does that mean? Kavanasa kavosh ksafti di bechla meinika. By a grusha you could say loy plug, because sometimes by almana you say loy plug. Sometimes, most of the time, she's mechuyev to nurse. Mashenkein a grusha who's always Petura, Gamshani Gurusha Aviv Chai, and also the father's alive, so Lamaisa, he's not happy with this Kula, and in the Berhetev Lamed Gimel, it's the second line of the first column of Berhetev, he only brings others who disagree. Chuvas Amuna Shmuel Semigimel Pasit V'Amora Nami Vishkachas La'echevus La'hanik Kagashi Yashirach Nisla Shtei Shvachais. Again, yes, cow rich. The Gemara's time that she has two constant helpers at home. Ahechad Ein La Mezaynis, or if she gave up Mezaynis, Be Shmuel Chaylik Alav. So he adds, Berhetev adds, V'chein B'Chuvas Knesses Yecheskel Shal Nates Chaylik Gam Kein On Chuvas Emre Shmuel B'Pilpul Yafem Ray. That if before the husband died, they gave it to a menekes, penuya, that's motav, but menekes, the sua, mayo mehai mehai. If you give it to a menekes who's married, which is usually a wet nurse, usually married, that's how she became a wet nurse, so what does it help? If she become pregnant again and also stop having milk? So basically, even though we've seen throughout the siman that all the heterim was somehow the tshuvas found ways to be makel, this kula of Ashira is not mukubeles. Pischei tshuva lamed is a long pischei tshuva. He brings two noidi bihudas and a chsam seifer. And bottom line, none of them are makel that Ashira by herself is enough. What's interesting is that in the Pisrei Tshuva, he says in the Amuna Shmuel, it says that he has other reasons that he doesn't want to spell out. So it's a mystery. What other reasons, and why does he want to spell it out? So Yehuda says, I figured it out. We had earlier that a woman who's mufkeres lesnus, which is running all over being mizana. That the Rambam was makel for such a woman. Mufkeres lesnus. The Amuna Shmuel's tshuva, he writes, is to an honorable family, an upstanding family, and to have a child. He didn't write in the tshuva, she's mufkeres lesnus. He says, what other reason could he have possibly had that he wouldn't want to write out? He says, oh, mufkeres lesnus. So now, you really could get married. See, mitzaref that she's an ashira. You have mitzaref the shita. But to go and do it the stamazai, and not. Okay, the question is why he published such a tshuva if it's so misleading.
But nowadays in America, say they have food stamps, so it's the shock that they, I mean, everybody has.
So it's really, it comes down to the same question, whether there's a light plug or not. And Ramesha doesn't write about food stamps. He writes about a case where the court ordered a husband to support the baby. He's also a fact fake because he says very often they just don't do it anyway.
Okay, so maybe that's where the husband will do it. If you have a food stamp for work, then you definitely will get it.
So I'm not aware of a tshuva about it. Ramesha writes, so I'll tell you, Ramesha has a tshuva. He says, the Amuna Shmuel, maybe who says, if we're talking where the woman is wealthy, what happens if the baby is wealthy? What if the baby inherited a couple of $1 million? So right away, Rami says, well, maybe the mother be ashamed to ask for the money. He says, well, what happens if the mother is the trustee? The mother is the apotropos on this. She has access to the money. So now the baby is wealthy. It's even better than WIC and food stamps. So the baby is wealthy. So now it's a svar to be made. So Nigris Vaishan in Chelik Beis of Evan has a tshuva zayin. He's mitzadeh to be makel. He says the svara to be makel. But interestingly, he writes that Avshe Mashvili Keiladina, even though I think it's correct, Kimish Lei Nimsa B'Divrei Apayskim Kashalus Mechalzeh. He's reluctant to rely in Halacha L'Maisa, and this is a turn from the whole siman. I mentioned to you as we were learning the last 2 weeks that every tshuva starts off, we should be makel on these things, you be machmir, but in this case they seem to find reasons to be makel. But in this particular set of halachis, this particular kula of ashia, of wealth, for some reason they're not so quick to be makel. And that's, I guess, the bottom line, that maybe it's a tzirif, but by itself, this last kula, then that Saimachan, and the Pisei Tshuva, like it's a long Pisei, other long Pisei Tshuva had a bunch of kulas. And this, the 290 Behudas, had the subsay for all our not makel on her being well. Okay, so this is the basic idea of the simon. So I want to mention to you a secondary topic related to this. We seem to take very seriously here in Chazal that the need for a baby to nurse, to have the mother's milk, is crucial for the health, for sakana of the child. The question comes up about a mother of a tiny baby, an age where they're nursing, and for one reason or other, the baby, there are babies, especially when they're in the first month or two, who refuse to take bottles, and refuse to take formula, I should say, and they only use the mother's milk. The shaila comes up about the mother expressing milk on Shabbos. Now, let me just give you the hakdama to that. Pumping milk is a malacha d'oraisa. Pumping milk is a malacha of dosh. Dosh, the av malacha, is threshing. Threshing is when you remove the kernel from the wheat. A told of that is schitas peiris, squeezing grapes or olives. But only grapes and olives are d'oraisa because they're Oymid Feschita. It's interesting that there are three categories of fruit. There's grapes, Zeisim V'Anavim. The Mesupik today of lemons are that way too. Most lemons are used for the juice. And those, the Zisa Dereisa. Chazal called Tusim V'Rimainim. Pomegranates or mulberries, I don't know what those are. But it means today things like oranges, that it's the Derech to squeeze. And that's also the Rabbanon. It's not primarily for squeezing. And the third category are things that are not generally squeezed for their juice, which includes, Chazal say, Shar Peiris. Once at a Shabbos table, my wife served cantaloupe for dessert on Shabbos, and my boys started squeezing cantaloupe juice into their cups. And my wife said, Shabbos. So I explained to her, it's perfectly mutter. You're allowed to squeeze cantaloupe juice. Now, she wasn't really happy, even if it had been a weekday, that she prepared cantaloupe, and they were squeezing cantaloupe juice. So she said, it's not a halacha you have to teach at this moment, that it's perfectly mutter, cantaloupe juice. But it's an interesting halacha that's mutter. Anyway, getting back to dosh. So dosh, the tolda is chita, another tolda is milking, whether milking an animal, that's a derech to milk, or a woman expressing her milk, that's a derech. A woman who's in pain, she's engorged, she wants the milk for her own, remove the milk for her own pleasure, for her own comfort, is allowed to milk, chazai is lashon, to express it onto the ground. If it goes le'ibud, it's mutter. Today we use pumps with receptacles, so we tell people to put something into the receptacle that would spoil the milk. You pour in a little bleach or a little schnapps or something that when the milk goes in it gets spoiled. So that's mutl chatchila for the tzairacha, the comfort of the mother. Expressing the milk to save the milk for the baby, that's a malacha d'oraisa. That's really a d'oraisa. And the question comes up with a baby who has... Who refuses to take any other milk, whether Bizman Chazal, they considered the milk to be a sakana. The question is whether Bizman Azeh, we should look at it as a sakana and to be made. And it's sort of a difficult thing because the Shaila generally comes up with newborns. It happened to be this Yom Kippur, I had the issue with a baby. It was just, I think, a day or two after the bris. The baby wasn't taking milk from anybody else, only from the mother, and the mother called me about expressing the milk on Yom Kippur. I told her that she could do it for Yom Kippur, but next Shabbos there's no, I'm not going to give you a heter. You got to save it up during the week. You appear ahead of time, then you avoid it. It's very hard being not to assume deraisas. I don't like mixing it with deraisas. People call me about deraisas, I tell them to call somebody else. Derabbanans, we keep derabbanans too, but at least, but deraisas, they're very, very hard to be made call deraisas for people. That was Seimach on the Shmir Shabbos Kol Chasa. I'd like to share with you the psak from Shlomo Zalman that's brought in the Shmir Shabbos Kol Chasa. It's very unclear what it means the baby refuses to take formula. What does that mean? You didn't let the baby go hungry for 12 hours and then he refused. You went to normal feeding time and the baby refused. So, I don't know. Does it happen? You have to ask the doctors. Do babies die of Rahman al-Fan of dehydration? I don't know. What's it? Anyway, what it says here in Shir Shabbos Kol Chasa is the end, it doesn't say which perek, I believe it was perek Nun Dalet, Oiskav Beis, Menekes, Mishum Ma, for whatever reason, Hatinik Eina Yachol Linoik Mishtei Imai, either can't nurse from the mother, or She Tinoika Nimsa Vibes HaChaylim, or the baby's in the hospital, still in the hospital, Yechayevis Lahavi, like Chol Yayim Chol Av Tari, and she has to bring fresh milk, Mishela. V'chalav zahu, amazin ha'ikri shalatinik, and this is the main food of the child. So the Shir Shabbos Kol Chasa paskins, tishoy v'sachalav meishadeh, l'techli gam b'shabbos. Ha'riyatinik olo l'stake. He says the child could come to Sakana, im yishiku chalav acher, v'tasa zahu, he said, deshimush b'masheva, chashmalas, you should use an electric pump, Hamufelas Ayde Shay Shabbos, which works by a Shabbos clock. Ibn Mishavas Yodanis, so the old fashioned hand pumps. When we were raising children, they only had the hand pumps. The young ladies today are convinced that hand pumps don't really work because they have electric pumps. But it's taka harder. But anyway, this is the heter he brings. What's it based on? So first, in the footnote, it says to look at the Bir Halacha and Tof Resh Yud Zayin, which we'll get to in a minute. And Yitzchak Tzuach HaZaynish and Yabi Aimer. And he says the following words. Now listen to this. Shemati Merv Shlomo Zalman Orbach, Digami Matinik Adayin Lo Yisragel L'Cholav, even that also in a case where the baby is not accustomed to the milk, meaning the milk that they provide. Gam kemuta lachle vavura l'techli. So the mother is allowed to milk on Shabbos, to express the milk on Shabbos. Hayol v'zeh hamazan atibi shalai. This is the baby's natural food. Ve'ein l'schashev b'safek sakana b'tachliv shalmazen acher. And you tell me how to touch it. Ein l'schashev b'safek sakana b'schalv shalmazen acher. Sound like he's saying the fact you can use other nutrition for the baby, that's not enough. It's a case of suffix sakana, and don't consider that you could use other formula. So it's a very clear psak that he says here, and I believe it's in the Halicha Shleim. I probably take it from here, but this is the psak that in such a case a woman is allowed to express the milk. I would consider a sakana. Now, what troubled me is the allusion to the Bir Halacha. He alludes that this is based on the Bir Halacha Tafer Yizai. So I have here a copy of the Bir Halacha. He's talking about a nursing mother fasting on Yom Kippur. Now, on the other Tadeisim, which are the Rabbanan, they're different bar. But on Yom Kippur, you have to fast unless there's a Shiloh sakana. So there, the Bir Halacha says, it says in Shulchan Aruch, Ubarais Umenikais Misanais Hamashlimis V'Yom Kippur. Shulchan Aruch says, on Yom Kippur, a pregnant or nursing mother has to fast. On that, the Bir Halacha says, but listen to his Lashon. He says, Im Yesh Lahamenika Yelet Chayla Umesukan, Veinu Reitzalinak Elamimena, The case here is presented, she has Yeshla Hamanika Yelat Chaylo Mesukan. It's not presented that you have a normal healthy baby who doesn't want to take milk from anybody else. It's presented that the baby is a Chaylo Mesukan. Veina writes Alina Kimimena, then in Tisanis Akhola Yelat, she shouldn't fast. Doesn't sound like a healthy baby who refuses to take milk from anybody else. Doesn't sound like the Bir Halacha has a heter. What? Whatever you're going to say, all your cheshbainas, but the Bir Halacha knew that, and he's only make, oh, if the child is already in sakana, it's a little different than what it says in the Shirin Shabbos Kolchasa. If Shabbos Amen could be makel, he has the plates to be makel, but showing, pointing to this Bir Halacha doesn't help that much.
But the child doesn't nurse, and he's chayla.
Well, we're afraid he won't nurse. We're anticipating that he won't nurse and he will become a chayla. So why doesn't he say that? Why doesn't he say a child that's not willing to take milk from anywhere else? It's just his language. Im yesh lavinika yelet chayla umesukan ben reitzelinaik. Why does the Bir Halacha say that? Why doesn't he just say Im yesh yelet shena reitzelinaik? It doesn't say this heter. Now in Svara, like I said, Shamzan could be Mekel, but the point to this is difficult. However, in the Shirin Shabbos Kachasa, he also points to a Chazainish. And the Chazainish, which I looked up, is in Archaim Nuntes, Oizdalid, Perik Nun Oizdalid, Nuntes Oizdalid. So he does say something that's very, very relevant. What the Chazainish writes there is that a young baby, developing diarrhea, or developing a fever, we also consider to be a sakana. The level of sakana in halacha is much more conservative than the level of sakana in modern medicine. We consider things to be a sakana that may be a sakana rechaika. And the Chazanish says that for a small baby to develop chaylim eayim or chaym kolshu or any level of fever is considered a sakana. And if the mother's not nursing, the mother's milk is old to bring him to any type of illness at that age, that we could count that as a sakana. So that is, I guess, more appropriate as a proper maramakim for this, which he writes about the heta for the mother nursing, that it's a sakana if the child only wants to nurse on her, to take it only from her and not to take it not to take other milk. And so for that, a person could understand the kula. But what's interesting is that in the discussion, they say chamsu Eben Ezra Simeon Gimel or the Dinah Menekes Chaveira, the Chazal considered these things to be sakana type issues. And okay, we know that the level of sakana for Chazal is much different. The chashash, the sakanis, is a much Chazal much more chayshish than we consider any bleeding in the Pnim HaGuf to be sakana. You consider right away to be sakana. Someone has internal bleeding that even if it's davarachik, some internal bleeding is obviously a sakana. But in any case, we consider bleeding b'chalal HaGuf to be a sakana. And
b'chal Shabbos.
What?
They didn't have modern medicine. You know, like somebody has fever, they take Tylenol and cool down. You know, back then they didn't have
Tylenol. Yes, I'm not talking about fever. I'm talking about there are certain situations where we have sort of have a Kabbalah is a chashakana, and we go with it. So it's very hard to know what percentage makes something shachar, what makes something shchiach and not shchiach. Chazal's gezeiros were very. Chazal's takanis were very often for things that are not motzi at all. And
come out nowadays, that's so. When you find a young person gets unfortunately gets an army gets killed, Now she needs a wife with little kids. So she was not 20, she can't get married for 24 months. Is that it?
Ramesh's tshuva, one of them is to somebody who passed away in the Yom Kippur War. In the Yom Kippur War, he was Mekel, it was 11 months. So he was Mekel, she was planning to get married in a month or two. So he was Mekel. He said it's taif to wait till 15 months, but he was Mekel. He used the svara that we had in the tshuva, in the Ber Hetem, in the beginning, that if it's the taifas havlad, the marriage, there's a svara to be Mekel.
But she was still aggressive.
Then. Well, it doesn't matter. There's a light plug, right? What's nursing? Well, nah, she's willing to stop nursing in order to get married, but the light plug. See, he was Mekel, and it sounds like he was Mekel even on 30 months, because she said it's 11 months. She wants to get engaged, you get married in 2 months. And he was Mekel on the 30 months.
So the same thing.
Now, there was always a horror to me that he wrote that tshuva in 74, right, after the Yom Kippur War, the next year. And in his lifetime, he didn't publish her. Moshe lived till 86. In his lifetime, he didn't publish a tshuva where he's Mekel with 13 months. Posthumously, they published the tshuva. So you wonder if it's a tshuva that he wanted, you know, in the actual printed tshuvas, he's not Mekel more than 15 in the Tesla Chadashim. You wonder. But Lamaisi, he was Mekel, and there's such a need, he was Mekel. But the tziruf that it's l'teva savla adult hakana is for the benefit of the child. So we say l'nichli b'takanta didi. Here is the child should have a father that could support them and that's what. Okay.
The woman fasts 24 hours. She goes to milk. She doesn't know she fasts. What she do?
Women who fast 24 hours. They have a temporary pause of the milk, but they don't lose their milk. You know, my wife nursed Baruch Hashem 8 children, and she fasted, and she lose some milk on Yom Kippur. It's true. It's interesting. On Yom Kippur itself, usually they don't lose the milk, but the effect of the dehydration is a little delayed, and it goes down. But a normal healthy woman doesn't lose milk from not nursing for 24 hours. It's okay. So this is Simeon Yud Gimel. Again, it started with the 3 months of Havchana, and it ended with the 24 months of Mu Beres Chaveira. Simeon Yud Aleph, as you can see, is a very short Simeon. And the reason it's a short Simeon is because it refers you to Hilchos Avelos, to Eben Ezer. Again, there's a not well-known halacha, which I'll share with you. It says here in Simeon Yud Aleph, Shleisa Isha Bimei Ha'Avol, Mesa Ishtai, the man is the Avol, right? The man, the woman who's in Aveila, we already said she has to wait 3 months for Havchana. Once she waits 3 months and losing her husband, then she can get married. Aveila is 30 days, Havchana is 3 months. So we didn't have to talk about Aveila, so we talked about Havchana.
Well, if she was ever married?
What?
She's an Aveila who was never married, Chester?
An Aveila was never married, okay, then it'll be the 30 days, you're right. Nachinam. But what it says here is Mesa Ishta Yayecha Bekroivav Shechayel Slabalalav and Amosai Osalisa Isha Nisbar Betur Yoredeya. Why does it say in Yoredeya? There are two dinim in Yoredeya. One is Hilchos Avelos, which is that a novel is not allowed to get married during Shloishim. Now, on Shar Kroivim, there only is Shloishim. An apparent is Yud Beis Chaydish. But Chazal said that for the man himself to remarry, there's no Avelis Yud Beis Chaydish, only 30 days. After 30 days, he's allowed to remarry. It gives, the Gemara says it's mutter. The Rishonim say, either because of Puru Ravu, Lerev Altanach Yedecha, to be able to have children, or even if it's an age where he won't have children, it's like Taiv Hayes Adam Levada, it's good for a man to be married. So after 30 days, oh, those the 30 days of Avelos, he's not allowed to have Nisuin, actually, so it doesn't say Kedushin. It says no Nisuin, but afterwards, he can get married. So that's simple enough. That's Dine Avelos. Then it says another halacha, which comes from the Gemara by Katan. Many of us remember it from the Yeshiva Shavlad of Ksubis. There's a small sugi of Avelos, and Tosis there brings this. That a man who loses his wife, Le'olenu, is not allowed to get married for Sholesh Regalim. And his Avelos is only 30 days. He has to wait 3 yamim tayvim, which doesn't include Shonim Kippur. It's 3 yamim tayvim, it means the Shalosh Regalim. What's Shalosh Regalim got to do with it? Some Shalosh Regalim could be 6 months. And, right, if it's Pesach, if Pesach was Sukkot, 6 months. Or if it was the day after Sukkot, it could be Pesach was next year Sukkot, it would be a year. So the reason that's given is that he shouldn't marry another woman and still have his original wife on his mind. When he gets divorced, so he's not fond of his wife at the time of the divorce. But by an Alman, he still has Das Ishtai Alav. So it says that first, it says separate reasons. One reason is it's not good for Shalom Bayis to be comparing to the first, and the second is that Shalei Shtei Deis Pavita. You shouldn't be thinking of her in the times of intimacy. So those are two reasons that are given. That is an obligation to wait the Shalosh Regalim. Regal passes without a wife, so it helps, you know, sort of it makes the pay more than the memory. And if the Shalosh Regalim, you're allowed to get married. The question again is when we're makel on this. The Gemara says, in my memory, it's a Tosfos, because Tosfos Sivus brings it, but I looked it up. It's actually a Gemara by a cotton. I remember from Tosfos, but it's a Gemara. Gemara says, somebody named Yosef HaKayin, at the Beis HaKfaris, after he buried his wife, he turned to his wife's sister, and he said, let's get married. I have little children you got to take care of. Not the most romantic proposal, and not the most romantic place for a proposal, but that's what Gemara says. Then in the Beis HaKfaris, he told the sister that we'll get married. It's not 100% clear if he actually was Makadisha there. It's not likely he had Masuin on the spot. But so from there, the Rishonim learn that for Parnassus, but of Ketanim, we sort of waive the Shalosh Regalim requirement. And I guess, Kefiat Tzairach, there are a host of tshuvas on the topic. And this is the halacha that's mentioned here. There is a lot of discussion in a number of places in Halacha about a couple that was separated but not yet divorced. Whether we should say, look, Halacha is they were married, all the takanas of marriage apply,
or
when them died. Yeah. In other words, the same case where the wife died, but the Hochashash is, he's thinking of her and they were planning to divorce, whether we make a sort of a loy plug or we don't make a loy plug. Now, we have our old rule that when a takana was made with some exceptions, we have a right to add exceptions. When a takana was made with no exceptions, loy plug. When there are some exceptions, we know there's at least the exception of Parnassus Banah from the Gemara of Yosef HaKayin, who was Mekadish. So there may be exceptions. I had a psak from River Palm. It was Lamaisa, someone who lost a sibling that he was estranged from, and they had I only heard his part of the story, but according to his part of the story, she did a terrible avla to him, and they were estranged, and they lived very far from one another, and he said, I don't want to be Miss Abel on her. And at the time he told me she was dying in the hospital, he said, I want to be Miss Abel. I asked Rav Palm, and Rav Palm said, "Ain't I veilus ela b'leiv?" If a person feels that way, so there's no aveilus. I think he told me that in the kol b'yal aveilus, he passes that way. I'm pretty sure that's what he told me. So it's a very b'chiddush to me that it's not like a loy plug. It's it says by Rabbeinu Gershon when he had a child that Rachmanos Lashmad, he sounded like a double shiva on him. And here, where there, I guess the child maybe is different, but the case of the Avelus, that there's no Avelus belay, there's no Avelus. Presumably, it means that an estranged wife would not be included in the gezeira of the shalosh regalim that's mentioned here. And so we concluded the first part of Eben Ezer, which is Aleph through Yudalid, which dealt with the the different yuchsin shaylas, most of them drabanan, shtuki and beduki, we started with and for Rebu, which it's interesting that Tezvav, which hopefully will start next week, is where you would have thought this all starts. Your Tezvav begins Issa Erva Deiraisa Drabanan. Which women are in Erva, which are in Issa Deiraisa, which are Issa Drabanan. Okay, that's fair enough. Ubay Lamed Aleph Sifim, and certainly take us at least till the summer. And we go through the Dine Arayas. And what's interesting is we always relayne it. But if you're like me, relayne it. It's not such big chidusha. The klal is, it's always easy to see what's there and hard to see what's not there. Right. What's there, you notice. What's missing, the relatives that are sort of missing is not there. There's a Sherlock Holmes episode about Holmes and Watson. They sleep out in the field and they wake up, and Holmes says to Watson, "Watson, what do you see?" He says, "I see the stars, the vast universe." He says, "Watson, what do you see?" He says, "I see the moon out in the southern sky and millions of stars." He says, "Watson, but what do you see?" You know, Watson, you dummy. Someone stole our tent. You're missing. You see the stars. Someone stole our tent. So, you know, it's a Holmes thing that never, I don't think it's in any of the Holmes books. But it's one of those that, so to see what's missing is always hard. And I guess that's Sif Tesvav, to see who's in Erva, who's not in Erva, who's a relative, who's not a relative. And Rapamas told me that Rabik told him, by a wedding, by a chuppah, just don't let any relative. Mm-hmm. On the spot, you're going to pass because this relative is mutter, that relative is us, you're going to make mistakes. You know, just say no relatives under the chuppah. He didn't say about the tenoy, but about the chuppah, that's what he said. Okay, so Yitzhak Hashem, coming attractions next week.